Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Roberta Somm, and she came in second place in our open contest. And Roberta, so I guess let's start with a history so people can get to know a little bit about you. Can you explain your background in physical fitness and training and that sort of stuff? And like you've mentioned to me, you've done running before. And just walk us through what you did before you found Venus and then how you ended up finding us in the first place.
Okay. I've been running and lifting weights for about 31 years and never competitively, always just for my own benefit, for my own fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty much it. I've never really done any kind of special workout program other than I just go to the gym and, I kind of follow what the guys were doing mostly. So I've never actually done any kind of specialized program until I found Venus.
How did you build a program before anyways? Or did you train with guys?
Yeah, I just would I'd say the most recent thing I did in the gym was, there were some guys in there that were working out and I asked them to show me what they were doing. And, we do, like, chest and back one day and biceps, tries shoulders the next day, and I kind of alternated doing that. And they did legs, and since I ran so much, I didn't really do any leg exercises for years until Venus. So, but years ago, I did squats, various leg exercises, lunges, just kind of learning from people at the gym. That's pretty much it.
And then did you arrive at a pattern that you liked, or were you constantly changing stuff?
No, I kind of got stuck in a rut. And that was what was really exciting for me when I found VI, was I really, for years, been kind of stuck in a rut. Just every other day, doing kind of the same thing. But I only worked out maybe 30 to 40 minutes a day, and then I'd run. And I'd do other things. So it's not like I was as focused on weightlifting as I am now. Since I started doing Venus, I'm a little bit more focused on weightlifting than I was before. So.
Mm-hmm. And you still run?
Oh, yeah, I still run. I probably run 5 to 6 miles at least 4 days a week, 4 or 5 days a week.
And that's something you're never going to give up?
I seriously doubt it. I've always loved running. I used to run marathons, and I've done like 50 milers, and I haven't done anything like that in about 10 years, but I've run anywhere between 3 and 6 miles a day for, it just seems like forever. It's just part of what I do, and I enjoy it.
I was just about to ask, what's it like to get up to that volume, or can you even remember now, because you've just been doing it for so long?
Well, I just remember when I first started running years ago, it just was so uncomfortable, it hurt. And I could not, this was a long time ago when Walkmans first came out with the little tape, and a little tape player, and I mean, I could not run. If I didn't have batteries and I didn't have a good tape to put in there, I wouldn't run. It just was too miserable to me. And then eventually my body got used to it, and you get to the point where you just kind of crave it. And I can just go outside and run and just enjoy how pretty it is outside and just enjoy it.
Now, so that running's been around forever for you then. And
right.
Weight training, and how long has weight training actually been something you've done regularly?
About the same length of time.
Okay.
I'd stop for periods of time. You know, a little bit more, running's been more consistent for me, but weightlifting it's been fairly consistent for me, but just, not for like an hour to an hour and a half like VI can be. Like I said, I'd work out anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes at the most, and sometimes that would be just every other day.
Hmm.
So never like a huge, serious thing for me to lift weights until recently.
Hmm. Did you find that changed your running performance?
Well, I found what changed my running performance is leaning out. I've never been this lean that I can ever remember. I've never been as lean as I am now, which is amazing because I'm 50 years old, so... I mean, even in my 20s when I was in pretty good shape as far as running, even running marathons, I was at least 10 to 15 pounds heavier than I am right now.
All right, so it's just being lighter. You're just moving a smaller body.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed it recently when because I do sprints. Usually when I run, I start out doing, I'll kind of do a jog for 2 minutes, and then I'll run as hard as I can for 2 minutes, and then jog, and then run. And I'll do, six times. And what I noticed when I was doing during the contest here, during that time period, my heart rate would go down during the jog, and I'm like, wow, I need to pick it up on, and so my sprints are faster than they've ever been, and I'm actually running a little bit longer now. And that's after doing a VI workout. I'll do my VI workout first, and then I'll immediately go into my run. And I can't believe how strong I feel. It's amazing.
Right. So your muscular endurance is coming up then, your strength endurance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and I'm glad you said that, because that's something people aren't, a lot of runners are surprised when they pick up VI or pick up weight training in general. And they're like, man, running's getting easier. And I'm like, yeah, a bigger, stronger muscle takes longer.
I didn't think of that. I mean, actually, you're right. I'm doing a lot, the VI, I do a lot more legs and stuff, and I didn't even think of that. I thought it was just because I'm leaner, but actually, you're right. It's the workout as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's something runners don't think. They just think to be a better runner, you just keep running. But at some point, having a stronger muscle, it's going to, every runner would benefit from weight training. They just don't think. They just never think about it, and it takes a couple months for the effects to take place. But then afterwards, a stronger muscle lasts longer. It just does. So it's
that's really neat. I'm glad you said that, because I never thought about that until just now, until you mentioned it. I just thought it was because I leaned out.
Well, no, it's probably both. It's probably both. Yeah. Obviously, moving a smaller body takes less muscular energy, but a stronger muscle takes longer to fatigue. Plus the same, it can do more work. So each stride feels a little easier. It needs to recruit less muscle if the muscle's stronger. So there's multiple factors that, weight training will always benefit running. So, but just a lot of runners don't piece it together until they experience it. So,
go ahead. I think it would be really fun for me to do a marathon now, just because I haven't done one in so long, and it would just be really fun to see how I could do performance-wise now.
Yeah, I don't know why it's such a shock to them. I just think maybe it's the running culture they don't think about training their legs anything besides running. So, it's not like you can't become a good runner without it. It's just they're not really recognizing the benefit of strength training.
Right, and I always liked doing a combination of weights and running, but when I ran a lot, I really didn't like doing legs because it just made me tired. Mm. My legs would get tired. And in fact, I had a hard time during some of the VI workouts in the beginning. There's different phases, at the beginning of phase one and at the end of phase one. For a couple weeks, I just didn't run very much because I was just too tired, and I put VI first. It's like, okay, this is going to get the bulk of my energy. Whatever's left over is going to go to running. I never put my running first once I started this program. And so sometimes I'd either reduce to a walk or I'd skip the run for the day. It's like, yes, okay, that's it. I'm done. Mm-hmm. My muscles are too fatigued from the leg workout. So. Mm-hmm. But I got stronger. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And okay, so, and it's mm-hmm. Looking at your pictures, you're really lean. What did you have a previous experience with specific dieting? Tell me about that stuff.
This is what's been really hard for me is, even though I've stayed really, really physically active over the years, the weight has just creeped up. And I never really had a problem with, any kind of, overeating or anything like that. I just didn't realize I was eating too much. I mean, I was just doing pretty much what society does out there. We have too much food. We have an abundance of food, and people don't realize they eat too much, and I didn't realize I ate too much. And I believe the whole thing about, it would hurt your metabolism if you go too long. I never skipped meals. I never let myself go hungry. And so it just, the weight, each decade was just 10 pounds. Each time I got 10 years older, it was another 10 pounds. And so I've tried several diets. Atkins and recently something called the Maker's Diet, and I'd always lose weight and then gain it back again. And so I got frustrated with it, and, you know, a couple years ago, actually about a year and a half ago, I finally just sort of made up my own diet and cut my meals, and I did the mini meals. And what I found really exciting was earlier this year when I lost my first 40 pounds, I had basically learned ESE principles before I even learned about ESE. So basically, once I found the ESE book, I was really excited about it because it just proved what I had just learned on my own, and that just made it even more exciting.
Now, you said you learned it. How much did you lose? Did you say there?
Just on my own doing mini meals, basically what I called mini meals, and actually mini fast, because one of the diets I was on had a rule about not eating past 7 o'clock at night. And so so what I would do, I followed that rule, and that was actually pretty hard to do for me because I was eating less. And so I was still, I'd go to bed hungry pretty much every night doing that. And then as I got used to eating the mini meals, I'd realize, like, sometimes I'd eat lunch or I'd eat a late lunch, and I go, gee, I feel like I don't write anything down. I just, it's kind of just an estimate in my head on, you know, how many calories I have. And I'd feel like, okay, I had enough to eat today. I need to try to stop now. I'd stop at 5 o'clock, and sometimes I'd stop at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so then what I didn't realize was that I was actually fasting. I was doing 15 to 17 hour fasts without planning on it, and I lost a lot of weight doing that.
Now, did you ever think you're doing something wrong, like some people, or were you just like, it's working, so I'll just roll with it?
Yeah, I just, I think I just got to the point where it's like I was, you know, I had turned 50 already, and I just, it was just driving me nuts that this was happening to me. I felt like I was an athlete inside, but it just didn't show, and I just was so frustrated. It's like, I don't really care. I this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to eat less. This has got to work. And I think part of it was because of it. One of the diets I was on called the Maker's Diet, but they had actually had the portions right, and they did things right. It was just too boring of a diet. It's just unsustainable as far as the variety. It's like, I just can't eat salad and salmon every night for dinner. It's just, you know, or whatever it is. I mean, they had a variety of things, but that just stuck in my mind. It just was, I just couldn't stand the diet anymore.
So can you explain a little bit more about that, or is it just the fact that it was just really restrictive on what you could and couldn't
eat? It was too restrictive on what you could eat, and so I don't really like having a restrictive diet, but they had the quantities down, and so that helped me learn, like, kind of how I should feel, because I was hungry on that diet. And that was the first time I allowed myself to be hungry. So I think what I learned from that diet was just how to do that. And then that was the last diet I did before I started doing this thing on my own. And
So you taught yourself the feeling of being hungry.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was actually the first time that I, you know, learned how to deal with that. And I think that really helped. So what's kind of neat for me is I've sort of learned from all the different diets I've been on. Like Atkins, I pretty much learned that, I mean, low carb is good for me. And so I'm still kind of low carb. I don't cut it out completely, but it feels better to me. It helps me stay lean and I feel healthier.
So when you say low carb, give us an example of what you mean for you.
For me, low carb would maybe two servings of carbs a day. Like maybe if I'm going to have something for breakfast, I might have one slice of French bread, that's it. And then for lunch, if I'm going to have a taco, I'll have one corn tortilla, and that's it. And that's it for the day. That's it.
But that doesn't include, like, vegetables, does it?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm just talking about what people would call carbs. But vegetables, of course, I don't even count what's in vegetables. To me, vegetables is fine, you know.
Right. Now, do you count fruit in that, too, or no?
I kind of try to limit fruit a little bit. I'll eat fruit. I mean, I might eat one or two pieces of fruit a day. I just don't eat a lot of fruit. I try to stick more towards vegetables.
Right, gotcha. So it's not even a it's not really a concern. You know, when I think about that, not a lot of people eat a lot of fruit anyways, so it's almost like unless you happen to be a fruit eater, it's almost not, you don't really have to explain fruit to people because I feel like you have to go out of your way to get it anyways.
Yeah.
All right, and then that's just what's arrived at you. So when did you find Eat? Was that the first thing you found, Eat Stop Eat, or did you find Venus first?
Yeah, actually, it was funny. I was I worked for the sheriff's department here, and I was working with one of the guys, and a lot of the guys have noticed as I have been losing weight. They're like, "Wow, you know," especially once I lost 40 pounds. I mean, that was pretty noticeable. Mm-hmm. And so one of the guys I was working with had done Eat Stop Eat, and he was fairly new at our department, and he's just a super fit guy. He's been doing martial arts like all his life, and so we were working together, and I was just telling him, like, man, I found the secret to weight loss. It's mini meals, it's mini fast, and you know, just keep exercising, of course, but you know, I honestly, that's the secret. And and he was just like, oh, you need to look up Eat Stop Eat. And so as soon as I got home, I looked up Eat Stop Eat and bought it. And then I was, you know, it kind of asks you a question when you go to buy it, if you're male or female. And I'm like, oh, what's this all about, you know? And then at the end, it's because of the Adonis and Venus, right? So so I was kind of waffling back and forth on the workout. And I thought, you know, I need to try something new. And so I went ahead and bought the workout. And so I bought both at the same time. I bought Eat Stop Eat, and then I went ahead and bought the VI workout.
Right, when then. When was this?
I'd say June.
Mhm.
Yeah. Yeah, this was in June.
And then what did you think when you read VI? Did I sound like I know what I was talking about, or did you think I was crazy?
You know, it's funny because I'm the type of person that I didn't really spend a lot of time reading it. I just wanted to get to the gym and work out. So I just kind of glanced it over. I kind of looked at the calories a little bit. I didn't really go back and read it until after I started the workout, you know, after a couple of weeks. Mm. And so I just pretty much jumped right in. And I've always been like that. I'm not really, like, I don't really know a lot about what a lot of the girls talk about on different things that they read about different people and different diets and different workouts and different forums that are out there. I look at how I went to the gym. I mean, I just go to the gym and ask the guys, okay, you know, show me what you do, and I just do it.
So you don't have much of a skeptical eye. You're just like, all right, let's just go.
Let's just try it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, it was funny because it looked kind of complicated to me at first, and then I tried it. And at first, it was really hard for me because I'm used to doing bench press. Like, when I'd come in and have bench and back day, I mean, I would do flat bench, and I'd go as heavy, you know, as heavy as I could for like 8 or 10 reps. Mm-hmm. And then I do like 4 sets, and then I do incline press, and then I do decline press. And in between that, I do a bunch of different back exercises. And I always went pretty heavy. And so at the beginning of VI, it's not really that heavy, and some of the exercises, they're just different. I'm not really used to doing the things with dumbbells. And then some of the, like the raises, you know, you have to go way down in weight compared to what I was used to. And I'm like, oh, no, really? This is like, these are like dinky little weights.
Mm.
And it was actually kind of hard for me because I missed, like, bench press. I missed going in and doing my bench press. I mean, I always went straight for the bench press when I walked into the gym. So, you know, it was a little hard for me, but I'm like, you know what, I'm going to give it a chance. And then I noticed, like, right away within weeks that just different little muscles started developing, like, in my shoulders and stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This is really neat. I really liked it.
So you rolled with that. So for this contest, okay, so then what made you want to do the contest? Or did you just figure, because you
said
you never competed?
Yeah, when I first joined the forum, there was a contest going on. I'm like, what's this? You know, and it took me a while to kind of learn what was going on. And then, of course, I jumped in and got really active in the forum right away and started making friends, like, immediately. And so, I mean, I'm on there, like, every day. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows that. So then, you know, there's different people on there that would say, hey, you know, once I started posting pictures, they're like, you know, you should do the next contest. You're getting close to where you could actually do maybe placed in the open or whatever. And so, I was just kind of going with the flow. I was always on the forum anyway. And so once the next contest started, I jumped right in, just thought I'd give it a try. So.
Well, it's a good thing you did. You did really well. So as far as the contest prep and all that stuff, what was your, did you get any guidance from any of the girls, or what was your plan as far as that? Or are you just rolling with VI1?
You know, for me, the contest per se started for me in June. As soon as I started VI, I hit the whole ESE really, really hard. For a couple months there, once I started it, I was actually eating one meal a day for about 2 months. Most of the time, there's a couple times where I had maybe a couple more meals, or I had some sort of event, or I was working, and I worked ate a little bit more while I was working. But so I almost went into what a lot of the girls would do for a contest, like right off the bat. I started doing what they would do for the contest, and actually by the time this contest started, I had already, without realizing it, hit 10% body fat, and I was starting to struggle with that. I had my first urges of binging, and
I remember some of your posts.
I was like freaking out, going, because I had no clue. I'd never been the sling before, and I actually thought I was probably like at 17% body fat or something like that. And finally, because I was having these issues and it was scaring me, and I've never had any kind of eating disorder. Like I said before, I've never been a binger. I just didn't know I was eating too much. Once I learned about, kind of like ESE type principles, it was just, okay, I just need to eat less. I need to let myself feel hungry, and it's like, no big deal, just do it. And so that wasn't really an issue. And so when this started happening for me, it was like, it really scared me. And so I finally went and actually got my body fat tested, just because all the stuff was going on for me. With my, and then I'm like, holy cow, I'm 10.5% body fat. So that was like a shock for me. Then I've been struggling with it a little bit, and I've just now, I think, gotten to the point where I'm comfortable where I'm at. I've pretty much stayed. I mean, I only came up a couple more pounds since I did the pictures, and I've learned to maintain it this, and it is different.
And so I don't know if you've seen our recent information about that, but the leaner you get, the harder that, like, you just can't, restrict at your, much at your, at the level you're at, especially on a woman's body. You're like, guys can go a little bit lower than 10, but girls can't do a whole lot more than that. And then it becomes becomes more of a game of macronutrients and like selectively restricting on just a couple of days, and then doing most of it by training and eating up to maintenance, that kind of stuff. There's a convergence. We're actually me and Brad are just finishing a VI and a contest diet for VI and AI, where it's all about this sort of thing and tracking tracking your body fat and knowing what to eat based on your body fat, because it changes. So like someone who's got 100 pounds to lose, yeah, they can fast for a week, but you couldn't. Yeah.
Right, and that's what I was learning. And that's what I'd never been there before, and I really had no clue what I was, had gotten myself into. And so later when you guys came out with that body fat as a organ, I loved hearing that. I mean, it was just like, that helped me a lot. Because now I honestly think that's what's going on with me now, because I get these different sensations in my body now with eating. And I just find that I have to be really careful. I can fast for 24 hours, but I have to be really careful. And for a few days afterwards, I have to treat almost every meal like I'm breaking a fast, because I'll just want to eat and eat and eat. And I've learned to deal with that.
And so that's really interesting. So can you explain like what some of the changes are specifically with that fasting? You still can manage a fast, or you're?
Yeah, I can manage it. And actually, it's not the fast that's hard. It's afterwards. I get this like say I fast for 24 hours, I get like it's almost like a delayed reaction where I get this sort of deep hunger. It's not a bad feeling, but it's just it's just a different sensation that I never had before. And I'll, And then when I go to, I'll be really, really super hungry, and then I'll go to eat even just a little bit, and I'll want to keep eating. And at least for a couple hours afterwards, I have to be really careful to either just eat carrots or and drink tea, drink lots of water, just really be aware that I'm going to have this strong urge to keep eating, but I don't want to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that you said that that's even like a day or two delayed?
Yeah, it's usually at least a day delayed. Sometimes a couple days. It's just like a delayed for me personally. It's once I start like eating more meals throughout, you know, for a few days, then it kind of goes, that sensation goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really weird too is like I'll eat, like right after I eat, it's almost like this like super, super happy, satisfied feeling. Almost like it almost felt like I just like took some sort of happy drug. Like my stomach would just be like, I'm just so happy. It's just, I don't know, it's just the weirdest thing.
And this wasn't happening when you were at a higher body fat percentage.
No, this never happened before. This never, ever happened until I got to the lower. And I think it's something, it sounds like it happens to other girls at different levels. I mean, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. For me, it just happened at this level. And now I know that if I want to stay at 10% body fat, 10 or 11%, which I like how I feel at this level as far as the leanness.
Mm-hmm.
And my fitness level and everything, I want to stay here. I like it here. And so I just have to be careful if I want to fast. If I want to do any kind of deficit, I have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because now you know what's coming, like the next day
or
two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm glad you pointed that out. That's interesting. People are going to realize these. Yeah, and you do change, and the like body fat is an organ, and it does secrete all kinds of hormones inside. Like I did everything. It's communicating with your gastrointestinal system and your brain all the time. So it's
right.
It's if there's less of it, you're getting different signals. There's just no other way to say that. So
right. And I'm sure that's the sensations I'm getting. And there's just different signals going on in my body with relation to my food. You know.
Mm-hmm. When you were dieting down, okay, so everyone's got some social aspect to that. How did you have people supporting you? Did you have people pushing back, or was it just kind of your own thing? Like how'd you go through? And not just for the contest, but you know, kind of the whole when you
right,
started
because,
until now.
Yeah, for me, I mean, the contest was just. I mean, I was already doing the contest starting in June. If you want to, as far as how I was doing things in my life. The contest was really, I took pictures at the beginning, I took pictures whenever I was going to take pictures towards the end, but basically, and even since then, I'm just doing what I was doing before, I just don't need to lose the weight, but I mean, I'm still working out, I mean, basically since June until now, I've been working out hard because I enjoy that, and so, and then I was either dieting down, or once I got to this level, which was at the beginning of it, this last contest, it's just kind of maintaining and for me, the contest was all about learning how to live at the low body fat because I hit it at the beginning. So, you know, the whole time period there was just kind of dealing with that. But as far as, you know, support and everything, for the most part, I mean, it was just the only time I'd really be exposed to a lot of other people. Because when I go out and work, it's, you know, I have the patrol car and it's like no big deal. I mean, it's not like everyone's watching what you eat. You eat when you can. Everybody just kind of eats when they can and it's not like a social event. But a couple times I'd gone to weddings and things and I don't think anyone really paid attention to necessarily what I ate. And I didn't go around talking about the fact that I was fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But the reactions that I got were more from the level of leanness that I got to, most of the guys thought, wow, you look great. And I had a lot of different reactions, which I know is normal, from women. The jealousy or whatever, but I mean, just women being frosty to me afterwards and just, you know, you must be starving yourself or, you know, just, you know, that all that kind of a reaction that women get from other women once you change from being someone that's overweight to suddenly being mean. It's kind of a...
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, inconsistent. So it's kind of, the guys are more or less the same, but women, you're getting all kinds of different stuff from them.
Right.
Yeah.
Some were supportive and some were kind of frosty. Just, yeah. They're just, you know, they're not as friendly towards me for whatever reason, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I really didn't get a lot of comments on what I ate just because it just wasn't a big deal. I didn't go around talking about it, so.
Mm-hmm. And so you didn't bother trying to recruit any help on that side? You were managing it on your own?
Yeah. The hardest part was, I mean, my husband was super supportive the whole time until I got to the point where I was really lean. And at first, when I got really lean, my skin kind of hadn't adjusted, so I had a lot of loose skin. And, you know, and I'm older, so it's not like some of the younger... I mean, I know some of the younger girls are going to probably get some loose skin if they've lost a lot of fat, but when you get older, it's more of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really noticed that. And so I think that was kind of hard for him. And to see me trying to diet when that was happening, you know, he's just like, okay, I, you've done enough already. So
yeah, it's time to scale it down and just go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's gotten used to where I'm at now. I mean, at first, I think he wanted me to actually gain a few more pounds, and I was pretty determined that I didn't want to go back, say, into the 120s for me. I'm just under 120, and that's kind of where I want to stay.
And how tall are you?
5'1".
Yeah, and that's somewhere in our predictive range, I think.
Right.
For your height, so I mean, it could be anywhere. I think that's right in the middle of our range for your height. So it's and you never know. Like, did you care about body weight, or were you aware of body weight, or did you?
Talk about that,
measurements, body weight.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I didn't really care so much about body weight other than I knew I needed to lose pounds, like, when I was heavier. When I first started losing weight...
How heavy were you at your heaviest when you started losing?
I got up to 171 pounds.
And how'd you feel at that point?
Oh, I was miserable. It was funny because this was about 2 years ago, and I started, I don't think I ever would have done it, but I was actually looking into, like, liposuction.
Mm.
I mean, I just was like, I was so frustrated that I'm like, all right, there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with my metabolism, and I actually, like, started reading about it and showed it to my husband, and he's like, no way. I mean, he was like, and that's when he was really, really, really trying to help me, he helped me find a naturopathic doctor to help me with any kind, you know, all different issues that I had with thyroid and adrenal and all that kind of stuff. And he was really taking more of a proactive role in just trying to help me find help for it. Because not because he didn't love me because I was fat, you know, a little bit more overweight, but because he wanted me to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted me to learn whatever I needed to do to get healthier again. And of course he didn't want to see me stay in that trend, and neither did I.
Mm-hmm. So you lost the weight and you got it all the way to, and so, but you were you ever
oh,
aware
so anyway,
of weight and
yeah.
measurement is kind of where we're
no actually I never it. I never really thought about that until I got the VI. In, you know, the VI program, because before that, like, I remember earlier this year when I was becoming successful at losing weight, I was more thinking of more like pant sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So at my heaviest, I was probably like a size 14. And I knew that when I had first, gotten married, and that was like 21 years ago, that I had a few pairs of pants that were maybe size 8 at the smallest. And so I would have been, as I was earlier this year, as I was trying to lose weight, I thought, okay, well, if I get down to say a size 8 or even a size 10, I'll be happy. That'll be good enough. That'll be good enough for me. And now I'm like down to a size 2. So I way exceeded, and it's because of VI that I exceeded what my original goals were. I mean, I probably if it weren't for this, I probably would have been happy if I would have gotten to, say, a size 8 and I would have stayed there. And that's where I was early, you know, this summer.
Mm-hmm. So was our metrics something like a different thought for you? Like, when did you start noticing those?
Totally. It was totally a different thought process. So, so I took the measurements and then I had more of a weight goal, and it was hard for me even then when I first started with VI this summer, I was probably around 133 pounds.
Mm.
And I couldn't even imagine being below 120. I thought maybe 125 or so, which, you know, that wasn't too bad for me. I mean, I looked pretty good when I got there, but, so it was the metrics that made me want to keep going. I kind of focused on the the weight measurement, and I never did quite get there. I mean, I was still, even at the contest pictures, I was an inch over on my waist. But what was funny for me was, when I first took my measurements, I was a little bit big on the shoulders and hips. And then I got down, and then I was fairly muscular on the shoulders. And so I got down to VI, and then I started kind of going up.
I see. So you actually got, like, started in a bit of a build.
Yeah. I mean, the VI program is definitely, I've definitely built more muscle than compared to what I had. I mean, you can see it in my pictures. Definitely more muscle, especially in my shoulders. So I really didn't have to, at that point, it didn't take me long to where I didn't need to focus at all especially on my shoulders. I didn't need to do anything there, just keep working out. I mean, if anything, I went a little bit above what my VI should be on the shoulders, just from building muscle. But so I kept focusing on just the waist measurement, and I just couldn't get it down. I just couldn't.
You're pretty muscular in that area too. It could be partly that too. Like, of all the years of heavy training you've been doing.
Right, and so and I realize that now, because even now I switched to doing what Kimberly called the assassination, where I'm just doing the going back to VI phase one and doing the circuits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually doing a lot more, almost every day, doing like some of the roll-ups and stuff. And I found now that my external abductor is actually getting kind of pronounced a little bit. And so I'm like, you know, I probably need to cut out some of those exercises if I want to get my weight down.
Yeah, and some girls, I know I've said this before, but some girls can't have a hard time wrapping their head around doing less for their abs and less for that area to make the area come down, but that's exactly what you have to do.
Can you tell me what exercises I need to stop?
Anything that focuses on that area, you just bring it in. So, like, rollouts, curl-ups, all that kind of stuff, I would like, if muscle in that area is actually the issue, and for some girls it is, and you're pretty muscular, so I would say, yeah, I would maybe not cut them out, but scale them back. You know what I mean?
However
much they are in the base. I mean, you guys have come up with your own thing, right? So you're doing even something beyond what I've written. So whatever I had written in the base workout, I'd scale it even back from that. So I have no idea what that is from what you guys are doing.
Well, see, what's really hard about that for me is, like, for the rollout. I could keep going. I mean, I could probably do 50 reps. I mean,
the fact that you can do them doesn't mean you should do them. You see what I'm saying?
No, I agree. And so, how do I know what to cut back to? I mean,
you can still do a bit of that work, like just that, like that. But you got to remember, those muscles are active under everything.
Right.
Like when you do a squat, when you do a T-bar, everything you're doing, those muscles are still firing, and you have enough muscle in that area that you don't need to target.
Well, I might even just cut them out, like, or maybe just 10 reps.
Yeah, or just one or two sets, and then just to feel it, and then just leave it at that. Because you got to remember, it's not like you're not training those muscles at all. They train every time you run.
Oh, right.
Those muscles work every time you do anything standing up, anything when you're on your feet, those muscles are still firing. So it's not like it's not like they're not doing anything. It's just they don't necessarily need to be the prime mover in a given exercise. Do you know, do you understand what I'm saying? So like when you do a squat, it's your legs and your butt that are the prime movers, even though your abs are actually still doing something. They're a stabilizer, not a prime mover. But when you do like a rollout or a curl up or something like that, now you're making them more of one of the prime movers where they're doing more harder work. So I would say in your case, scale back the exercises where they are the prime mover. Like in an ab, in a crunch, they're the prime mover, 100%. Even though there's a couple other muscles active, they're the prime. So I would say, allow them just to be the secondary muscle, not the primary for the next, you know, however many weeks it takes, and give it a real run, like 6 to 8 weeks, and see if you get a little bit of a change in shape there.
Right. What about planks?
That's the way you do it. Go ahead.
What about planks?
Same deal. Planks, they're one of the prime muscles that's firing. Obviously, depending how you plank, you end up getting a good burn in your shoulders and in other areas too. Same deal though. Those are all designed to work that area, but if the issue is bringing that area down, then you have to scale those things back. Maybe do them for 20 seconds instead of 40 and just, you know, a couple sets instead of four.
Right.
Or knock them out completely, see how you feel after 4 weeks. You got to remember, if you knock them out for four to eight weeks, mm-hmm. you haven't knocked them out for the rest of your life. You just knocked them out 4 to 8 weeks just to see what will happen.
Right.
So to me, the simplest way to see is to knock them out completely, go for at least a 4 to 8 week stretch, and then monitor how you look, and then also how you feel. Like maybe it starts affecting your running, or maybe it affects your other lifts. Maybe you're like, hey, you know what? I felt stronger in this lift or that lift when I was doing them. I'll put them back, or at least put them back a little bit. But it's kind of like an elimination diet or Brad's elimination experiment. You take them out, see what happens, and then you put them back. That's how science is done. You take something away and see what happens. So in this case, you could easily just take away the given exercises that make your abs the prime mover. See how you look and see how you feel and see what your strength's like in all your other lifts and your runs. And then 4, 6, 8 weeks later, you're like, I like the way it looks. I don't like the way it looks. Then you reevaluate. So that's the only way to know. And then add it back at any degree you want.
Right. So mainly the exercises we're talking about are the curl-ups, roll-ups, and planks.
In my program, those are the main ones I ever put in for abs. I don't put in crunches. If people do crunches, that's on their own.
Okay. All right. Yep. Well, I've been following your program exactly. I haven't really been doing anything else. I just do your, other than cardio, I do your program exactly as it is.
Those are the ones. Those are the ones to scale back. Yeah. Okay, so we're getting on to the end here. So do you want to give your words of advice for anybody else who wants to get into shape? Another 50-year-old woman's looking at your pictures and they're like, I want that. What would you say? And not just the contest run, but when you started on your big cut.
Right. It's funny because I get that all the time now when I go to the gym. There's women just approaching me constantly on a daily basis. I want what you have. What did you do? Because they've seen me, you know, they've seen how I've changed.
And well, then so, you better get, you need to work on this speech.
I know, and I've been practicing it. But, I'd say, you know, of course, everyone on our forum already knows pretty much about Eat, Stop, Eat, that you have to eat less. The bottom line is you have to eat less. And so what I encourage the girls at the gym to do is to go look up Eat, Stop, Eat if they really want to learn about it. And then, you know, if nothing else, just eat less. Cut your portions down and think about what you're eating as far as, like, you know, and some of this, we learned in a book that a lot of girls have read called Natural Thin, and I'm sure AGD is kind of the same thing. Where, you know, say you want to have dessert, don't maybe not eat the carbs with dinner. If you're going to go out to dinner, think about what you're eating. Don't have everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the way I eat. For me, what's been successful is I love working out. So I go to the gym. I don't miss my gym workouts. I mean, unless there's some reason for me, like I'm like sick or something like that. I'd say just embrace your workouts. Just go work out. Because I think for a lot of girls, they'd rather diet than go work out. And it's like, you need to work out. You need both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because if you just diet, you end up same body composition, just smaller.
You know, I just learned to love the workouts. Just learned to love the workouts.
All right, that's good for me. Do you have anything else, or do you want to leave it there?
No, that's it.
All right. So thanks for being on the call, and congratulations on the contest. So for Roberta Assam, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.